From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Madeline Baxter with this look at statewide and regional news. The special Alaska legislative session that began cloaked in drama is ending quietly. Tuesday marks the 30-day session limit. No fuller sessions were planned to mark the official end, which comes more than a week after lawmakers finished their work on issues Governor Mike Dunleavy asked them to consider. A Maine man has pleaded not guilty to sexual assault and murder charges in the death of a woman at the University of Alaska Fairbanks 26 years ago. Stephen Downs made his first Alaska court appearance Tuesday. He was arrested in February in Maine, but has contested extradition. Maine-based defense lawyer James Howenick appeared telephonically and entered the not guilty plea on Downs' behalf. Downs, wearing yellow prison garb, appeared in the courtroom for the arraignment. Judge Andrew Peterson set bail at $1 million. The next hearing will be August 14th in Fairbanks. Downs is charged in the 1993 sexual assault and killing of 20-year-old Sophie Sergey on the Fairbanks campus, where he was then a student. Alaska authorities say DNA linked him to the crime. Commercial salmon trolling in southeast Alaska is closed for 8 days around much of the region. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the closure August 5th through the 12th. It's to allow coho salmon to return to the inside waters of southeast. The department typically calls a closure at this time of year. This one is a little longer than usual because of lower coho numbers. Starting August 13th, trollers can fish for king salmon again. A second summer opening targeting 25,000 Chinook is expected to last about 2 to 4 days. In the meantime, some areas around hatchery returns remain open to trolling, even with the region-wide closure. And the ferry union strike might be over, but some Petersburg ferry workers are still concerned about the state cuts to the Alaska Marine Highway System and other services. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
Outside a local cafe in Petersburg, Jack Slatt talks with customers about signing a petition to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy.
Good morning. Would you care to sign this petition to recall the governor?
Slatt isn't one of Petersburg's more politically active figures. He doesn't usually go to political meetings or protests. He's a ferry worker, the chief engineer for the state ferry Malaspina. And he fears that speaking out could cost him his job.
There could be ramifications. There could be retaliation. I understand that my job could be in jeopardy.
But he says he can't stay quiet. He's concerned with many areas cut in the state budget, including to the ferry service. Slatt wasn't part of the striking union, but says his concerns go way deeper than those negotiations.
The strike is minuscule compared to what is at stake for the whole state in general.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has released a schedule for the winter, with severe cutbacks to ferry services to some communities. Slatt worries that the gaps in service could lead to what are called cold unmanned layups, where vessels are left alone for months. He says that would be devastating to the condition of the fleet.
Given their age, 55 years old for the oldest ones, if there's no one on board taking care of them, the damage will be tremendous.
Another Petersburg ferry worker, Jay Beasley, is part of the union that was on strike. He's been a steward for the ferry service for 6 years. He spent over a week striking in Ketchikan at the ferry terminal. Reached by phone, he says the strike that went on day and night was worth it.
Long days, just long days on the picket line trying to drum up support for us.
Beasley says the governor and many legislators outside of the southeast region don't realize how important the ferry system is to residents. He doesn't think the current winter ferry schedule will get the communities the services they need, nor stewards like himself enough work. It's tough for him to think about the other workers because they're such a tight-knit group.
You're on this boat for at least one whole week, and you get to know them really well.
Beasley says the budget cuts will affect his family. His wife is a dispatcher at the police station. He says if he can't get enough work on the ferry this winter, he'll try to get another job, but he'll probably end up on unemployment.
After October 1st in Petersburg, there aren't a lot of jobs out there.
He says the state budget cuts, not only to the ferry system, are short-sighted.
I just think it's really sad that in this day and age that we can't find a solution to these problems other than just, take gigantic cuts from the budget.
Back at the cafe, Slatt would agree. It's more than just the ferry service at stake.
I have a little granddaughter who's the apple of my eye. She's not quite two. If these draconian measures go unchecked, my little granddaughter will not have a chance of getting a good education in this state. So that puts me on the warpath. This is not acceptable.
There are efforts to recall Governor Dunleavy going on throughout the state. It will take 29,000 signatures to start a recall petition, and later in the process, a public vote. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Visitors stranded by an Alaska ferry have kept busy by painting a church fence. The Kodiak Daily Mirror reported Monday that David and Joanne Widiak of Anacortes, Washington, had been painting the fence at the Holy Resurrection Cathedral. The Alaska Marine Highway strike by the Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific began July 24th and ended August 2nd. The couple had to extend their RV camping trip to Kodiak due to the strike that stranded them in the island city. They offered their services to the cathedral and took up an invitation to paint. The Widiaks began work August 5th on the fence around the Russian Orthodox Church in downtown Kodiak. The couple hopes to finish the job before they depart on the next scheduled ferry. And a tribal group held a rally on the Stikine River over the weekend to advocate for stronger oversight of transboundary mining. The event marks 5 years since the Mount Pauley mine disaster in British Columbia in 2014. KSTK's June Leffler has more.
Ha-hee.
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 About 30 people gathered at a sandy beach up the Stikine River, about 15 miles north of Wrangell Island. They held signs saying protect the Yunuk, Taku, and Stikine, three transboundary rivers that flow from British Columbia to Southeast Alaska. Native women led this event, and their message was clear. Indigenous folks are the original stewards of this land, so they deserve a seat at any regulatory discussion on mining near these rivers. Sue Stevens is a Tlingit woman from the Nanya'ai clan.
That's why I sang and rattled and sang all the way up here, praying and getting help from the ancestors for us to stand up and fight. And we are not going to let the mines claim this river!
Sunday, August 4th, marked exactly 5 years since the Mount Pauley mine disaster in British Columbia. The mine's tailing dam breached, sending millions of gallons of mining waste into the Cariboo River and other waters. Operations at the mine halted earlier this year. Owner Imperial Metals cited low copper prices for its shuttering. The 5-year anniversary was also the final deadline for Canada's federal government to penalize Imperial Metals under the Fisheries Act. BC's provincial government had earlier declined to prosecute under its own environmental and mining laws. There are fears that Mount Pauley-like disasters could devastate Southeast Alaska's ecology, including its salmon fisheries. Tis Peterman is the Wrangell rep for the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission. She recently met with members of the International Joint Commission, a U.S.-Canadian treaty organization that helps settle transboundary disputes over waterways.
They don't have the legal means to do any regulations or anything. But it's mainly, you know, they can bring the issue to a table.
Okay.
And we've been asking for that since 2014.
Peterman says this was the group's first meeting with the IJC, and it was productive. She says the meeting lasted 2 hours.
And at times it got pretty passionate, but they were just trying to, you know, they said we're just here to learn.
Peterman says her group wrote to Governor Mike Dunleavy asking for a tribal representative at the bilateral meeting in Ottawa this October.
No answer. So that's the discouraging part.
Peterman says her group is continuing to engage tribal governments across the border and in other Northwest states to tackle the issue collectively. The Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission represents 15 tribes in the region. Reps from the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium and the Southeast Alaska Environmental Council were also at the rally. In Wrangell, I'm June Leffler.
And that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.